Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him who after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, be not anxious how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that same hour what ye ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no place to bestow my crops? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. December 31st, 1989, or anything of January. Tomorrow will be the 1st of 1990. But we don't really know if we're going to have tomorrow. God always speaks about today. That's all that we know that we have. And the Lord Jesus here in this chapter brings some exciting truths home to his own disciples. We read there was a great multitude here. The original Greek tells it was 10,000 people at least that were gathered together to hear the Lord Jesus. But here, as he spoke to these people, he spoke to his disciples, those that were going to serve him. And he first warns them of hypocrisy, the sin of the Pharisees. They were religious. And boy, I know what this is as a Christian, to look like something that we're really not. And the Lord told his disciples to be careful of the leaven, the little leaven of the Pharisees, the hypocrisy. You know, I've heard some people say, I don't want to go to church because there's nothing but hypocrites there. And that's true. There is nothing but hypocrites there. We're all sinners. We all come short of the glory of God. But the Lord speaks to disciples. He singles them out in this group of 10,000 people, and he says, beware of the sin of hypocrisy, that leaven. You know, we add leaven to the flour, don't we? And it puffs that whole loaf of bread up. It doesn't take much to do that. And in the church, we can be guilty of this very sin of hypocrisy. The Lord wants us to be careful of this. Why? Because he said there's nothing covered that's not going to be revealed. Everything that we do in our life is going to be made open one day. Everything that we say. Mrs. Key used to tell me oftentimes when I'd say something, every idle word you're going to give an account for, and I can still hear her saying that to me. And sometimes I wonder about the gossip. Sometimes we talk to one another about others. And if as we were whispering in somebody's ear, somebody had a megaphone and was repeating everything you said, this is what he says about this person, we might be a little bit slower about gossip. The Lord said to be careful of the sin of hypocrisy. Whatever is true in your life is going to be made known publicly one day. So we need to be careful as Christians, as his disciples, his followers, that our lives are open. One man prayed one time that He wished there could be a mirror placed in his heart so that men could see how pure his heart was before the Lord. I wish I could say that as well this morning. To know the Lord Jesus in that way. He warns the disciples that they're going to go out to fear God. Don't fear man, he tells us in verse 4 and 5. I say unto you, my friends, my disciples, those who are going to follow me, my friends, don't be afraid of those that are going to do something to your body. He said that's all they can do. If they kill you, that's it. They don't have any more control over you. But fear God. The Lord Jesus says, I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him that hath power both to destroy body and soul in hell forever. Many sinners do not come to the Lord Jesus just strictly for the fear of man. We're afraid. We're afraid of what our friends will think. We're afraid of what our family might think. And for the Jews, for these men that the Lord was speaking to, it was an awesome responsibility to take a step out and to claim Christ. It meant their lives in many cases. It meant that they had to give up their life for him. But the Lord says to fear him who after he hath killed hath power to cast in hell. I say unto you again, fear him. Fear is a good thing, isn't it? Sometimes we tell people in our lifetimes to be afraid of something. Like we'll say, don't go out late at night by yourself. Why? Because there's a lot of crime today, isn't there? And we put a little fear, we're afraid a little bit of what men might do to us. So we implant a little fear. But the Lord Jesus here brings a fear of God. Fear him who hath power to destroy your soul, hath power to cast into hell. Fear him. By trusting the Lord Jesus and becoming a Christian this morning, you might incur the wrath of men. Your family might leave you. All your friends might talk about you because you're a Christian. But by denying the Lord Jesus, then you have to incur the wrath of God. He that believeth on the Son, the Lord Jesus said, hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If you're here this morning, you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, the Bible says the wrath of God abides on you. Fear him. Be afraid of God. But it just simply takes an act of faith, believing on the Son. He that believeth on him hath everlasting life. In Fox's Book of Martyrs, there's a story in there about Bishop Hooper. And he was just about to be burned at the stake, and the men were trying to convince him to renounce the faith that he had placed in the Lord Jesus. And he said these words, life is sweet and death is bitter, but eternal life is more sweet and eternal death is more bitter. You see, he feared God and he was willing to lose his life to claim Christ. We need to be willing to do this as well. And that's what the Lord was telling his disciples. The word for hell in verse 5 is the word Gehenna. It's a place of the Valley of Hinnom, a little southwest of Jerusalem. It was a place in the Old Testament where the Jews, as they were offering up to their gods, God forbid them to do this, but they offered up their children, little boys and little girls. They just slaughtered them for their gods. It's a place of the incinerator where the waste was thrown, the city of Jerusalem. It was constantly on fire. And this is how the Lord Jesus refers to hell. The place of fire, the waste, the dump, that's the place that God has the power to send a sinner to. Those who refuse Christ will have to go to hell. And if we want to get a little idea of what that place is, we notice that the disciples said, just a simple phrase, but there's a lot in the world of thought in it. They said, why was this waste? As Mary poured that ointment over the Lord, why was this waste of the ointment made? And you know, it says Judas was one of those that said that. And later the Lord Jesus says this, that he is a son of perdition. Same word, the son of waste. And the Lord refers to every person who rejects Christ. Broad is the way that leads to waste, to destruction. And many there be that go thereat. Many of us have chosen to take that road. And it leads to this place the Lord Jesus spoke of, to hell, a place of waste. What God meant for you to be, you've wasted it all. Spent all your living, prodigal son, on riotous living. You just did your own thing. You didn't do what God had intended for you. And we learn a little bit of what hell is like by looking at the cross of the Lord Jesus. We see that he was forsaken of men. No friends there. In hell, you won't have any of your friends there. You'll be alone in hell. No God, forsaken of God. The Lord Jesus was on the cross. You'll be forsaken of God in hell. No light, darkness. Be darkness in hell. We need to fear God. The Lord Jesus was bringing this truth home to disciples. As you're going out to serve me, don't fear man. Fear God. And we're afraid, don't we? We're afraid to go and witness for the Lord Jesus because we're afraid of what men are going to think. But the Lord says there's one greater than that that we should fear. We should fear God. Remember what Peter said? He brought this truth home. We ought to obey God rather than men. He believed what the Lord Jesus said here. He feared him. But notice in verses 6 and 7 that God, through the Lord Jesus, tells the disciples, yes, fear me, but then the Lord Jesus says, don't fear. Don't fear. God takes care of the sparrows. He'll take care of you. And even though men might claim the believer's life, even though they might kill you, he said, God cares. Not one sparrow falls to the ground without the Lord knowing about it. Someone has said that God goes to the funeral of every sparrow, of every bird. Think about that. Goes to the funeral of every bird. Someone has said that, but it's true what the Bible says, that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know, many Christian funerals I've been to, there are just very few people there. It's not many. When we look at the Lord and he died, there weren't many to take him down from the cross and to bury him. But precious, God says, the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And the Lord, as he spoke to his disciples, knew that many of them were going to die a martyr's death. He said, don't be afraid. He said, God cares for you. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. But the Lord also says that he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. There's no pleasure whatsoever God takes in the death of the wicked. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. In verses 8 through 9, the Lord Jesus brings home the importance of confessing him before men. Many times we might have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, for ourselves, and we've never told anybody. We just hide in our heart. And the Lord said it's important for us to confess the Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth we have confession made unto salvation. Have we confessed him openly? And sometimes after meeting, we get together and we talk about things that have nothing to do with the Lord Jesus. The Lord wants us to confess him, to open our mouth and tell others about him. Notice what it says that we studied on Wednesday night recently, 1 Timothy 6:13, that the Lord Jesus himself witnessed a good confession before Pilate. He witnessed the facts as far as his Father gave him. He came to do his will, and he witnessed a good confession before him. The Lord said, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He came out. He confessed him before men. It cost Peter his life later on to make that confession. The Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip in Acts 8:37, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the Ethiopian eunuch responded, made an open confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the Lord here is telling us the importance of confessing him before men. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And the measure that we confess Christ here will be the measure he confesses us up there. If we deny him here, I'm talking to Christians as well as the unbelievers. We deny him here, he will deny us too. We must honor him. Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus by night, didn't he? And we know that Joseph of Arimathea tells us was a secret disciple. And yet when it came, taking him down from the cross and burying him, these two men came out of the closet to openly confess him as Lord. They believed who he was a Savior. At risk to their own lives, they did this. The sin of rejection in verse 10, the Lord speaks of the sin of deliberate rejection of God's truth with the heart. When we know his truth clearly in our heads, 12 inches, just a little different from here to here. God's truth must sink to our heart. It must be believed on in the heart and obeyed from the heart. And then we can find the truth in him and obey him. No, there just doesn't seem to be much effort today, is there, in finding the truth. The Lord Jesus said, I am the truth. We can talk about everything else. What's that recipe for that meal? What's the score for the late last football game? What's the story with your car? How are you feeling? All of these things. We can talk about everything else. But we can't really seek Christ. The most important thing that we can find is him. No inquiring minds. God looked down from heaven. There was none that sought after him. Not one person that sought God. And still, that's true today. Many of us don't seek him like we should. This is the only sin the Lord Jesus speaks of here in verse 10 that God cannot forgive. We can say anything he says about the Lord Jesus. We can blaspheme him. We can speak lowly of the Lord Jesus. And yet he says you cannot take what the Spirit of God has said about the Lord Jesus and deny it. Because if you deny it, that's the only sin that God cannot forgive. We said this morning in one of our choruses what Nicodemus, the word the Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He must, the Lord Jesus said, be born again. It's not a question of whether I think so or not. He must be born again. Fear God, the Lord Jesus said. We must not be guilty of that sin. We can be guilty of anything else. Murder, stealing, lying, everything else in this world. The Lord Jesus paid for that on the cross. But we cannot be guilty of the sin of rejecting the witness the Holy Ghost has given of the Lord Jesus and his word. Verses 11 and 12, he takes that same spirit and he says that spirit was going to be the one that we're going to give the words to these men to preach. The things concerning Christ, Paul says, preach Christ and preach him crucified. And that's this spirit. He shall teach you in that same hour what you ought to say. The Lord uses us as we know his word. Peter says we ought to be ready to give an answer to every man, a reason of the hope that is within us. But he gives us the way to do that. He tells us in the opening part of the verse, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set him apart in your hearts. Learn of the Lord Jesus. And as we learn of him, the Spirit can use us as we go before men concerning the Lord Jesus. What a great message so far the Lord has given to his disciples. And now out of the middle of the crowd, this man comes to him and has a request about an earthly inheritance. The Lord's speaking about heavenly things, and this man comes and says, Lord, I've got this problem with my brother over some money or whatever, land, inheritance that was left to them. Don't feel bad if you're ever speaking and somebody doesn't seem to be listening. It doesn't seem like this man was listening to the best speaker there ever was, the Lord Jesus. Maybe he thought, he really believed in his heart that the Lord Jesus was the Messiah and that he was going to set up his kingdom. And he wanted to be one of the first ones to get a request into the Lord because he thought this was important for him to take care of. Maybe he didn't like the answer the courts already gave him. Maybe they settled the issue. Your brother's getting everything, you're getting nothing. Let me talk to the Lord Jesus about this. I want to get this straightened out. Maybe He didn't like the fact that his older brother, we're not told whether it was an older brother or not, but maybe it was his older brother. Maybe he didn't like the fact that he got twice as much as he did by law, by the Jewish law. We're not really told why this man came to him. But the Lord tells us in verse 14, "Man, who made me a judge or divider over you?" The Lord's purpose in coming into the world was not to settle these political human issues. He was here to settle the sin issue, to pay for sin, to die for sin, and to provide a way for men and women, boys and girls, to go to heaven. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." If this man would have just recognized his need, sometimes we think our temporal needs are so important, and we don't really think about our spiritual needs. We were singing today, "Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, you'll shrink, shrink, shrink." But it seems in life that we're more taken up, just as this man was, with temporal issues instead of eternal values and truths found in the Word of God. But notice that the Lord Jesus knows this man's need, and he gets right to the heart of the matter. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And he took his knife out, and by his word, he went right in to his heart. And he said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." In verses 10, 11, and 12, we find the first commandment brought to our attention. "The Lord, thou shalt have no other gods before me." The New Testament, the Lord Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul." That was the first and great commandment. But here he brings to our attention the last commandment, the tenth commandment. "Thou shalt not covet." Don't be covetous. That was this man's problem. He wasn't satisfied with what he had. Now, which one of us can say that this morning? We're not satisfied with what we've got. Be honest. Just about every one of us can say, to a certain extent, we're not satisfied with what we have. Oh, this sin. The last commandment, but the one that causes us the most difficulty, it seems, in life. The angels, the reason they fell, this sin, covetous. They were not happy with their first estate, the Bible tells us. But they left their own habitation. They left the place that God had made for them. They were not happy there. Adam and Eve, they thought that God was holding something back from them. It was covetousness. That was the root of their sin. They wanted something. As God said, the devil said, maybe he's holding something back from you here. But we need to be like Paul, who said, "For to me to live is Christ." Several years ago, when I was a dad, we went over to Rome and Corinth and Israel, and we went down to one of the caves, the prisons where Paul supposedly was kept. And they would literally just drop you down through this hole, and you'd just be down with all these men. The place stunk. There was no place, no restroom, for instance. It was just one lousy cave they lowered them from. And the brother that was guiding us read these words of the Apostle Paul, written from prison, that "I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Be content where God has put you. He realized if he had Christ, he had everything. And that's what this man needed. He needed the Lord Jesus. Children are funny. They come into the world like this, don't they? Their hands are clasped, and all their life they're going like this. Little Kyle, I'm watching him come over the house, and I'll just destroy the place. Scott tells me what I need to fix after he leaves. Just wipes out with his hand, you know, just grabbing everything. And that's what we all do. We come into the world trying to get as much as we can while we're here. But then we die. Child comes in like this, we leave like this. Nothing. You can't take anything out with us. Notice what the Lord Jesus said. Notice his words very carefully. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. It doesn't consist in the things that he possesses. That's true, but that's not what the Lord Jesus said. Our lives do not consist in what we have. Many men would have given their life's possessions just to have health for a day. Get cancer? Sometimes it doesn't matter what you have. You're not going to live. You're going to die. Man's life, his basic life, does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. But notice the Lord said, in the abundance of the things that he possesses. I think that's intentionally interesting how the Lord worded that. He's basically saying that man comes in and he goes after abundance. He keeps grabbing after things because none of it satisfies the longings of his heart. Today I'm still doing this. I've got a computer at home. Newest thing comes out, newest software, whatever. I've got to have it. And you just keep grasping after these things and you find that they don't satisfy you. And that's what the Lord was addressing this man. It doesn't satisfy. A Christian young person many times really says to the Lord in his own way, I'm really not happy, God, with what you've given me. The Lord Jesus just isn't enough to fill my heart. We go out into the world and the world tells us, this is fun, or this is what we need, this is what you gotta have. And we go out and we go after those things with all of our heart. And then we're disappointed. We find that that really wasn't it. Wasn't enough to fill our heart. And as we get older, the same thing is true. Why is it that we go shopping? We just don't go shop. We go shopping. Because to shop once won't be enough. I've got to shop many, many times. I've got to grab as much as I can. I've mentioned this before. James Nicholson said something one time that broke me, made me just cry when he said it. But one day God's going to say to us, wasn't the Lord Jesus enough to fill your heart? He was enough to fill my heart. Man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things he possesses. The Lord Jesus said, I am life. And until we believe what Paul said, for to me to live Christ, he knew he didn't need anything else, just him. And I'm learning this lesson, brother and sister. The Lord has been speaking in my heart. It doesn't consist in what we possess. And sometimes I think if the Lord came to us today and spoke to us like that young man, go sell all that you have and give to the poor. Some of us would find it hard pressed to do that for him. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor and forsake all and follow me. Oh, if we could learn this lesson. What would we have without the Lord Jesus? The hymn writers have said this, take the world, but get me Jesus. All its glories are but a name. All the things the world says are great, a lie. Doesn't mean a thing in the end. Another hymn writer said, if I gained the world but lost the Savior, would my life be worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest and comfort in the things that soon must pass away? We as believers are too worldly. We're too wrapped up in this old world. We, by our very lives, are saying Christ is not enough. Paul, just by his actions, willing to give it up, willing to give up all and follow him, was saying, in essence, Christ is everything. I mean, he needs to be our everything. The Lord speaking of that here. We get to this parable that the Lord speaks about in verses 16 through 21. Just wanted to come to the context of it. This is really what our lesson is for today. 12 times we read me, my, I, personal pronouns. And he says that it was the ground of a rich man in verse 16. It was not his ground, for the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they who dwell therein. Psalm 24, verse 1. All of it is his. This whole world, every one of us that dwell in, we're all God's. We're all owned by him. We just need to recognize that. In verse 17, he thought within himself. No one thinks within just himself. We might think we do. We might think from dead air our thoughts are only our own. But the Bible tells us the Lord knows the thoughts of men. Psalm 94, verse 11. Here he tells us what the thoughts of this man were. What shall I do? No room for crops, no room for God. The world still has no room for him. Perhaps a beggar was saying the same thing this day. What shall I do? How am I going to eat tomorrow? Where am I going to get my next meal from? That was what was important to the beggar. But this rich man, what was important to him, where am I going to store all that I have? He has a problem, too. And many times, those who are poor in this world really don't have that too many cares. You know, when I was younger, and I didn't have all the things I had, I was really happier than I am today. All the things that drag us down and really give us a lot more heartache. Perhaps someone down the street could have used some of his goods. But no, everything is for me. Me. That was this man's problem. In verse 18, he said, this will I do. That's a pretty bold statement, Mr. Rich Man. This will I do. What if lightning hits your barn tonight and it burns down the ground with all your grain in it? What are you going to do about that? What if a tornado comes like Job had? A wind, a great wind, comes and takes it all away. What are you going to do about that? James chapter 4, he tells us, come now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. That's what we're all about. Buy and sell and get gain. We're all in that mode today in the world. That's what it presents to us. And whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Talk about tomorrow, January 1st. We don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a little vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, and you hear a Christian say, if the Lord wills, I'll be there. And that's what James tells us we should say, if the Lord will. We ought to say this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil, James tells us. And therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not to him that is sin. This man was rejoicing in his boastings. This will I do. I'm up here in my barn. This was evil before God. And we need to be careful that these things are not true about us. And those weeks that I'm going to pull down my barns, I will build greater. There I will bestow all my crops and my goods. And I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry and take my ease. How many of you have ever built a building and found out that it was easy? This man wasn't doing easy things. He was creating more problems for himself. But he thought that it was going to make his life easy. Our times are in his hands, in God's hands. There was absolutely no concern for others here or thankfulness to God for what he had provided. The Bible tells us, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus. He was rich, wasn't he? But he left heaven and became poor, that we, through his poverty, might become rich. I will say to my soul, the Lord Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mr. Hunter reminded us recently that an older man won the lottery, and he was afraid he wasn't going to live long enough to be able to spend money. In fact, the matter is we're not going to live long enough, in many cases, to spend the money. Sometimes we prepare for this world, prepare for retirement and everything, and we spend very, very little time preparing for eternity. That was this man's problem. He was preparing for 80 years, 70 years, 60 years, but he thought he was going to live, but he didn't take into that thought at all that he was going to live forever after that. Life is just a short time. It's a vapor, James said. We need to prepare forever for that day that God is calling us to. Sometimes I think birthdays, when we're born, we should start at 100 and work our way down. That way we'll think more about, you know, how much time left, you know. We've got 1 year left to live. But we start and work our way up. We need to remember that life is short. take thine ease. It's better when God gives rest. The Bible tells the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, and their life cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, God says, to the wicked. But the Lord Jesus said, and we sang it this morning and read it, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Really no happiness and riches. This night, today, this night, God said, thy soul shall be required of thee. Maybe today, brother, maybe tonight. He said tonight, in the darkness, when this man was thinking about what he was going to do, God took his life. And those that refuse Christ, the Bible said, are going to spend forever in the blackness, the darkness, night. We'll never know day. Again, never see another sunrise. So is every man, the Lord says, that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. God's riches are found in a person. And that person is Christ. Today, if you're not saved, you're still trying to find all your happiness and joy in this world, look to the Lord Jesus. Ask him into your heart. Confess him, like we read this morning, before men. And he will confess you before the angels in heaven. And those of us who are saved, we learn, too, that our life doesn't consist in the abundance of what we possess, but it consists in Christ. And we believe that in our hearts. We just don't obey it many times. May the Lord help us. For his name's sake. Brother Don, may you close me.